civilianization of the intake function of internal affairs. Unfortunately, I can't stay the whole time, but I want to introduce the item, and then I wanted you to hear from the various proponents, from the CPRB, from the task force, as well as from the police department, so you have a good sense of what some of the issues are. I wanted to call your attention just to two issues as you listen to the discussion. One is that in the short term, this is a proposal that, from a budget perspective, costs money. And the reason it costs money is even though it may be that civilians are cheaper than sworn personnel, that if we're not getting rid of sworn personnel and we add civilians, the cost is the cost of the added civilians. If we were to, because we didn't get enough stimulus money, and if we were forced because of budget reasons to not have as many police officers, then there might be a cost savings by replacing the sworn staff with non-sworn staff. But if we were to do that, we would be giving up Measure Y, and there might be an issue of maybe there's another use of those funds to backfill Measure Y rather than spend them on this proposal. But that's obviously a policy decision for you to make. But I just wanted to make sure that you understood that in the short term, in any case, that there was a substantial budget cost, roughly about $1.2 million. The second thing is that I want you to listen to the difference between the police department and the proposal about what the word intake means. Because I think one of the reasons why there's general agreement that there's no serious problem with this proposal is because the police department believes that they're going to still have to do just about everything that they've done in the past. And so it's not really going to replace their functions. But I want you just to listen to that, because I think there's a difference in what the word intake means. And so I just call your attention to that. Finally, I need to apologize to the committee that when I submitted my cover letter, I originally was going to provide three reports, one from the CPRB, one from the task force, and one from the police department. Because the proposal from the CPRB and the task force had substantial similarities, including many paragraphs that were word for word, I mistakenly believed that they were the same report, and because of that, I only submitted the two reports. The most salient difference is the recommendations, and the recommendation by the task force is to move forward with the proposal and figure out what funding sources and how to figure out the details. Subsequently, my comment in my cover letter to you was that I didn't advise that, and basically because I thought the discussion of the ID cards was instructive in the sense that never had so many people been in so much agreement and had so much acrimony. And I just didn't think that that was necessarily the best model. But
so let me understand this. So the task force recommendation report is not part of this?
The task force recommendation is the recommendation itself, which I basically stated, but I could be...
Right, but I know that the written...
The written one was not included.
And so that's the one that we will not have any discussion on, because it's not... It's not a part of the report that is forward to us. So
it's in the new title.
It's under a new title.
What is the title?
Ms. Lindenheim, you want to go ahead and wrap up? Are you finished?
Right. I don't really see any reason why it can't be discussed, because I think basically I've already given you some indication of what the recommendation is. In addition to that, I think that in the presentations that both Ms. Grenache and Patrick Caceres can make clear what their recommendations are.
All right, thank you.
Patrick Caceres, Acting Director for the Citizens Police Review Board. I also wanted to acknowledge and explain a little bit of the communication confusion of the versions of the report. The CPRB and the Mayor's Task Force reports are essentially the same with an exception, and that's a big difference, and that's the proposed action. But I will leave the details of that action requested to the Mayor's Task Force to explain. To go to the questions that was requested by the committee, this report This proposal is a request for $1.27 million to fund a total of 10 positions, 8 complaint investigator 1 positions, and 2 administrative assistant positions. What's not included in this expense is possible one-time costs for recruiting, background checks, position advertising, and facility expenses. The CPRB's current location on the 11th floor of City Hall cannot house all the proposed staff or provide sufficient space for the increase in the number of walk-in complainants. So I think that's something also to keep in mind. Some things about the background, as our city administrator has explained, is that the CPRB has been participating with the Oakland Police Department's Internal Affairs Division and with the Mayor's Task Force to create this proposal. In many ways, we have addressed some of the concerns that were brought up in previous reports. The last thing is I'd just like to acknowledge and identify some of the benefits that this proposal could have. Obviously, as our city administrator has acknowledged, that there is a significant expense, but I also think that there's possible benefits. And one of the benefits of this proposal is that the CPRB will have the benefit of reviewing and triaging cases at the initial public contact. That allows the CPRB to select cases for mediation and specific cases for evidentiary hearing, which are unique to the CPRB. Also, by doing intake, the CPRB has the ability to have a more comprehensive database to report and relay this information back to the committee, which was partially discussed at the last Public Safety Committee meeting. Another is the benefit of having a civilian doing the intake of citizen complaints. So that's it for the CPRB. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Good evening. I'm Sean Lent. I'm the acting captain of the Internal Affairs Division. I have been working with the Mayor's Task Force and the CPRB on this proposal. The police department's position really at this point is that, well, back up a second, one of the large critiques of the current system of having a CPRB and an Internal Affairs Division is that it's duplicative. We have two different agencies both investigating complaints against the police. This proposal, as it is now, really aggravates that same issue in that, as proposed at this time, they would only do intake of citizen complaints. So a citizen would come in, make a complaint, and within 24 hours, that complaint would be forwarded to the Internal Affairs Division. IAD, Internal Affairs, would then investigate it as we do now. So the only responsibility that the police department gets relieved of is that initial statement we take from the complainant. All further investigation beyond that point still has to occur. And I think the reason why the proposal only addresses that small intake function is that what we're still obviously subject to the negotiated settlement agreement and many, many tasks of the 21 of the 51 tasks of the NSA are related to internal affairs. So in order to minimize potential compliance issues, that they selected to do just this small piece. But that does not relieve the police department of the obligations to do that, to satisfy compliance with the NSA. So no positions can be removed from internal affairs at all, in the short run at all. At the earliest, we could move people out potentially in like July of 2010 after the CPRB got up and running in January of 2010, and presumably for 6 months got their feet wet and were able to begin to get things into compliance, then potentially the police department could start losing some positions. But in the short run, there's no savings at all of work from the Internal Affairs Division. And so while the compliance issues are minimal with the current plan, it ultimately it's kind of duplicative and unnecessary at this time.
All right, thank you. Rashida Grenache for the Mayor's Task Force component of this working group. Mary Vale is recovering from an operation. That's why she's not here, but Eric Cisneros is here. Yes, the chief request we have of you, which was contained in our report, which I did email to each of you, is a request that you approve in principle, as you did with the ID cards, in principle, the transfer of civilian complaints to the CPRB from Internal Affairs. Ideally, we would like much more, but we understand the constraints of both the NSA and the budget issues. If we had neither of those to deal with or to be concerned about, we would obviously want to turn over all of the investigations at once or as soon as practical. But we understand that, that under the current circumstances, that is impossible. So in order to mitigate the issues of NSA in the short term, and in order to minimize the number of people that will need to be hired by the CPRB initially, we scaled back to talk about only the intake. The intake, however, is very similar. The CPRB process is very similar to the Internal Affairs process, as we have discussed in the several meetings that we've had. There are a few differences. Obviously, the police can take complaints in the field, and there is no field for the CPRB, but these are things that we are working through to make accommodations and adjustments. The issue of forwarding from the CPRB to IAD within 24 hours is the current practice. That's nothing new. That happens in both directions. No matter where the complaint is filed, it gets forwarded to the other agency within 24 hours. So that's not new. That's the current system. So what we are proposing is really a gradual transfer based on practicality, based on the NSA and the timeline for that. And although initially there will be duplication, the IAD has conceded that once they are satisfied that the intake of the CPRB is in compliance with the tasks of the NSA, that they will then be able to start redeploying Internal Affairs officers to other divisions. And I think we concur. July is probably a very reasonable time for that to occur, assuming that we can implement the plan. That means have the new people online by January, which may or may not be optimistic, again, depending on funding. So what we're here to ask you is to approve this in principle. Many of you have indicated that you believe it is, in terms of long-term public policy, the right thing to do. If you agree with that and you are willing to go on record as saying that you agree with that and move this to the full council for them to vote on, as occurred with the ID cards, then we can start looking for funding. We can start looking for grant possibilities. We understand that the money is not going to come from the general budget. And so, in order for us to begin that process of trying to identify resources, we need you to go on the record as a council saying this is something you want to do. Otherwise, we're not even going to be able to get out of the gate looking for funding. So essentially, what we're asking you to do is to say, look, we understand that you don't have every item in place. We do have the basics covered. We have had a series of very productive meetings, all of the components of the working group. We've identified whatever issues are outstanding. We have been able to work through many of them. And we are committed to continuing to do that, to develop a full implementation plan with a fully developed timeline and to address the legal issues. We've already been in touch with plaintiff's attorneys in terms of getting a waiver on one or two issues that would have to be adjusted in the NSA. They have no problem with that. They're waiting to receive the language so they can look at it together with the IMT. So basically, we've done everything we can do to further this proposal. We've brought it to you several times now, but we understand we can't go any further without the funding mechanism, and we're saying we don't see how we can get that until we have the council going on record as saying this is something that you want to see happen.
All right, thanks very much. very much. Want to call the speakers?
Yes. Eric Sinaris, Blair Lamar Ingram, Joyce Dawson, Sabrina, Marcel Dalio, Marlon Monroe, Rashida Grenage, Eugene Smith, Victoria Ubai, Pamela Drake, Saji Honda, Jeff Gaddy, David, Tina Allen. In any order.
All right. Please, anybody step up to the mic.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Reed and Council. My name is Eugene Smith. I'm on the Executive Board of Pueblo, which are People United for a Better Life in Oakland. The request is quite simple, and I'll be as brief as possible. We request that the Council vote to approve in principle the resolution calling for the transfer of the intake of citizens' complaints against Oakland police officers from Internal Affairs to the Citizens Police Review Board. Implementation is subject to subsequent approval of the implementation plan. Costs associated and identified funding source to be determined by staff within 8 weeks. Both Acting Chief Jordan and Deputy Chief Israel have stated publicly that they have no objection in principle to the transfer of the intake of complaints, as long as compliance with the negotiated settlement agreement is not jeopardized. We agree and have developed an approach that ensures compliance that satisfies Internal Affairs Division concerns. In 2007, OPD's Internal Affairs received approximately 1,700 complaints compared to the Citizens Police Review Board of 80 complaints. The Mayor's Task Force, which includes members of the Citizens Police Review Board, Pueblo, contends that more people will report police misconduct if the investigation process is handled by civilians under civilian control. There are now two ways for a citizen to lodge a complaint against a police officer. One, it can be filed with OPD's Internal Affairs or with the Citizens Police Review Board. So all we ask that you accept this in principle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Kara Kapowski. I'm chairperson of CPRB. I'm in my third year there. And I would say one of the strongest recommendations from a community point of view to support this is historically, the public is just not comfortable going to IA, Internal Affairs. They'd rather go speak to a civilian intake person with their complaints. And we've done a lot of community outreach with that regard. But I think further publicity about CPRB would help with that. Certainly, if you decide to move forward with this, definitely an outline of a definitive budget and duties should be well in place before they transfer all permanent duties over. CPRB is currently very understaffed already, I think that the point of triage would be a very good thing for us to be able to mediate as many complaints as possible. We've increased our mediation in the past year, and it's been very successful.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tina Allen. I'm Vice Chair of CPRB, and I'm speaking in favor of this proposal, and probably more from the citizen's perspective. As sitting on the board, we have a lot of what they call 3304 cases, and that means that there's a year from the time of the incident to the time that there is some sort of resolution in regards to CPRB. And I find that a lot of times when things go to criminal affairs, by the time it gets to us, we don't have an ample amount of time in order to investigate those particular cases. So I feel that by civilianizing the intake and having it come over to us first, we're able to pick out those cases that we can mediate. And as Ms. Kapowski has mentioned, we have stepped up our mediation process so that we can resolve issues quickly. And so I believe that by having it to us first and being able to pick out some of those cases we can handle quickly, we can send the rest over to Internal Affairs. And as they say, also, people are a little more comfortable with speaking to the civilians because civilians understand their perspective and what they're looking at. And then also, we are being trained in a lot of police procedures, and so we can get the perspective of the officers and really look at the case and make a very good decision as to what should be done on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, council members. Mr. Reed, Pamela Drake. I'm here speaking in favor of making in principle the statement that we really do want to begin to civilianize in terms of people being able to feel comfortable having their complaints investigated really carefully, and even going to have their complaints investigated. I was on the first community policing task force in the city of Oakland. I think it was 93 or 94. And so it's been a long time since we've been inching along to community policing in Oakland. And I don't see how we can have real community policing unless we civilianize this part of the process. Also, as a teacher of adult students in Edward Chan's, I know that a lot of our students have had difficulties and do not feel comfortable going to the police department to talk about it. And it's a savings, because we go through so many costly lawsuits, and we really need to have the kind of oversight that people can trust and people feel comfortable going to. And the police department has their role to play. It just doesn't seem to be the role that they should be majority in, and it really would be good to have these officers out on the street. So they're saying that they can have this up and running, and we can begin to replace and have the officers out on the street by July of 2010. That sounds really good to me, so I think we should move forward towards that. Thanks.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Joyce Dawson, and I'm here to speak on an assault that I suffered last year, July 28 to be exact. The police that came out, I've never seen anything like it. The police officer was so nasty, so rude. He tried to intimidate me from going into an ambulance. I had a concussion, a serious back injury, which I'm still being treated for. Yet the Internal Affairs says that these incidents were unfounded. They did not occur. And this is a lot of paperwork for something that did not occur. And I tried every channel I knew how to get this officer disciplined or something, but the only person, group that's taken me seriously has been the Citizens Police Review Board. Everywhere else I go, it did not occur. Yet, I'm injured. I suffered a concussion, injuries to my back, of which I'm still being treated, and nothing's happened. And I will be having a hearing of this on Thursday night, and I would just like to know, how will this be dealt with? Because I was treated unfairly by the policeman. He refused to arrest the woman. He saw my injuries, yet he tried to intimidate me and not to go in the ambulance, and et cetera, et cetera. And it just makes no sense to me to say that this did not occur when I'm still suffering from the injuries. And I don't know what else to do. The only ones that have taken me so seriously has been the Citizens Police Review Board. And I would like to see something further other than just it did not occur. And this is more than did not occur. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Chris Murray-Jones. I am an attorney with offices in Oakland and a resident of Oakland. And I have, in past years, represented a fair number of complainants before the Citizens Police Review Board. I guess it's inevitable that a lot of the discussion of this matter is focused around the issue of dollars and cents. Those things are important. I would like to remind you that the main primary reason for moving forward with approving this in principle so that funding can be sought is a policy reason, as you heard from the speakers ahead of me. We all read the papers, we're all aware of the relentless series of scandals concerning what we did in recent months and years. It needs to be stated that there is a huge degree of cynicism and mistrust about OPD out there, particularly in the poorer members, poorer sections of this community. There's a deeply rooted, widespread position that the OPD is dysfunctional and that a significant number of its officers are out of control, accountable to no one. And that if you do file a complaint, the OPD gets to investigate itself in secret with predictable results. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the whole of the truth about OPD. I hope no one in this room believes that it is. I certainly do not. But it is a very, very damaging perception, and it's very, very real. And it has to be expensive. both in terms of direct costs of litigation against the city and incalculable consequential costs. And if you don't move forward in making this transition, start moving now, those costs will not stay constant, they will continue to increase. For those reasons, I urge this committee to take a first step towards adoption of this proposal.
Thank you.
Marcel Diallo, Village Bottoms Neighborhood Association. Speaking tonight, just as a private citizen, in support of moving this forward to civilianize the intake. Just recently, I don't know if a lot of you may know me. I'm down in the Prescott District, one of the main community organizers down there. Doing community development work in the Village Bottoms Cultural District. On this past Memorial Day, I was actually harassed by some police. I guess they were out just kind of looking for trouble on Memorial Day because I guess a lot of them were stationed in the hot spots to just be there. And a lot of them, since they weren't familiar with the neighborhood, of course they weren't familiar with me in my own neighborhood. So Officer Ming, serial number 8493, actually harassed me at midnight in front of my house as I was bringing a table back from a friend's barbecue. And I suffered, you know, unnecessarily. Threw in the back of a squad car. My truck was searched, you know, unnecessarily. I would say illegally. I'm not on probation or parole. I actually, you know, I was trying to tell the guy, look at my license. You know, my license, it matches where you're pulling me over, like right in front of my house, which I didn't even know I was getting pulled over. I just was getting out of my car and going to the house. And he's like, get back in the car. So, you know, I'm treated in this manner, and I'm a taxpaying, law-abiding citizen that's trying to help the community. After an hour of this, leaving me in the back of the car with heat up to over 90 degrees, windows rolled up, harassing my partners for even inquiring about what's going on with me, after all this is said and done, he gives me a ticket saying I don't have a license plate. And I'm like, you see the number 7 temporary moving permit that I have on there, and he still was just trying to stick me with something. But it's like this kind of bogus thing that happens constantly in the community. And that's why I think that, you know, civilianizing this process would make it easier for a person like me who, this guy just violated me at midnight. Now, what do I look like staying out until 3 o'clock until his supervisor comes to then file a complaint against him when it's just me at midnight on this back street where I live and all of these police officers?
I'm going to need you to include them as somebody that's going to relinquish that time to you.
Can you relinquish your time to me? Is that cool?
Thank you.
Okay, cool. So I got a few more minutes.
Your name? Larry. All right, thank you, sir.
And, and this just brings up another thing. I mean, I sent emails to Larry Reed, Gene Quans, you, Nancy, everybody got my emails, and I'm sure y'all got emails from all my friends, because right when it happened, I wrote a Facebook note and I pushed the button to 300 people. So I'm sure all of y'all got crowded, and I didn't receive anything from Larry. I didn't even receive anything from Patricia. Thank you for getting back to me. But, you know, you should be more responsive to this type of thing. I'm not a criminal. I'm somebody that's always in here trying to help. So when it happens to a person like me, I mean, you know, come on. Let me take a breath. In 2001, now this is my first time that I'm ever going to file a complaint, even though I've been harassed dozens of times. This is my first time filing a complaint just because it happened right in front of my house, and it was just so stupid that I have to file a complaint. But in 2001, on 32nd and Adeline, in front of a church that we were about to buy for the Black Dot Artist Collective, which is my nonprofit, me, my pregnant partner at the time, who was 6 months pregnant, one person from our board of directors, Dr. Kwasi Harris, and our real estate broker were put down at gunpoint by police. We'd yelling, she pregnant. I don't give a damn, get on the ground. Smashing her stomach. She's 6 months pregnant with our first child, DG. He's smashing her stomach onto the ground with guns to the back of our head saying, get on the ground. By the time they let us up, it was bogus again. I went and grabbed my video camera, so I have all the aftermath on tape from 2001. But that was around the time of the Ryder's case when they was telling you, well, you might as well don't file a complaint unless you got shot or a bullet in your head or if she have a miscarriage, because we all know how corrupt the police department is. So I'm saying, I never even filed a complaint when they got my pregnant partner on the ground with a gun to the back of her head, and me and my broker and my board member. And this is the type of thing that happens to us constantly. Can I get another 2 minutes?
Your name?
Huh?
Your
Sabrina.
Name?
Sabrina.
What's your last name?
Oh, you don't have her.
This is the kind of thing that happens to us constantly as we're down in the bottom trying to bring it up. Like, you know, and he said, oh, we got a call saying that you were the Black Gorilla family and you were waving a gun in front of a church. And so since you're the Black Gorilla family, instead of putting you against the wall, saying your hands against the wall, we have to put you on the ground because you might do the Folsom roll on us. And then this guy had the nerve to start trying to demonstrate the Folsom roll. Like, we're like, what is a Folsom roll? We've never been to Folsom prison. We're not ex-cons. So these police, you know, start showing us what the Folsom roll is, which is something that the prisoners in Folsom developed the technique to break the police down when the police, you know, tell them to get against the wall. I mean, this kind of silliness is what happens to the citizens of West Oakland. And then you expect us to go to those very people and file a complaint with them. So I'm in full support of civilianizing this process, and we need to do it in a hurry because West Oakland is a powder keg. You know, you got people in East Oakland shooting police now. You got people in West Oakland finally shooting white people now. A guy, first white guy got killed that I heard in front of his house on Chester and 12th. You're not really hearing about it in the news, but things are going crazy. And it's because of this police presence that's pushing down and harassing the citizenry, giving people tickets for bogus things and harassing people for bogus things. So we have to figure out how to mitigate this negative attitude towards these guys. You know, help them with their approach, make them a little more personable and more human to respect the humanity of other people. And I think part of that is kind of civilianizing the intake process. The second part of that is they need some sensitivity training. And I think people like me who have had guns pulled to their head by the police maybe 40 times in my 36 years on the earth, we can serve as those liaisons because we understand the psychology of a cop, how scared they might be of you even though you don't have a gun and they have the gun on you and they're shaking like you getting them juiced. And you have to play like the Buddha and calm down and shrink and be humble. I mean, a lot of us have had to deal with that our entire lives. So, you know, let's civilianize this and get with the program.
Thank you. And as you mentioned, though, I didn't email you and all the other folks that emailed me back. I did call the police chief and raise the issue.
Thanks.
Well,
you should have let me know, though, Larry.
That's okay. There's a lot of things that I do that a lot of people don't know.
I feel you.
But I do. So. But I was concerned, as everybody that you emailed to was concerned about what happened to you.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Kelly Abraham, and I'm here in favor of item 7. I appreciate the work that the mayor's task force has done, and I just want to request that you move this recommendation to the full council for the June 30th meeting. We want the council to approve, in principle, the proposal to transfer the intake of complaints against Oakland police officers from Internal Affairs to Citizen Police Review Board. And we want the resolution or ordinance to occur in the fall upon council's approval. Our implementation plan and identification of funding sources. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
Good evening, members of the City Council. My name is Victoria Irby. I am from the City of Berkeley's Police Review Commission. I am their PRC officer. However, I'm not here to represent the City of Berkeley, but speak as an former investigator at the Oakland Citizens Police Review Board for 3 years, from 2003 through 2005. I'm not a current resident of Oakland, but I did live here for 8 years. I would like to begin by encouraging the Public Safety Committee to approve in principle this proposal because I believe that it's a good one. I'd also like to begin by stating that I think for the most part the Oakland Police Department deserve a great deal of respect. The police officers are highly trained and they are committed to serving and protecting the community. However, last year there were 10 officer-involved shootings, 6 resulting in deaths. So why transfer complaints to civilian investigators? 1, officer-involved shootings lead to a lack of public trust in the police, polarized debates, and outrage from the community. 2, civilianizing internal affairs is a step towards maintaining the public's trust in the police department, which is critical in acquiring information in criminal investigations, obtaining cooperation from witnesses, and people are likely to report crime when they trust their police department. Two, civilian investigators leaves no perception whatsoever of bias and leads to objective, neutral, and fair investigations. Three, civilian oversight of police is a critical tool in maintaining a mechanism for members of the public to voice their concerns free of charge, free of attorneys, free of courts, and their complaint will be fully investigated to maintain the highest professional standards of public safety. Can I just say a little bit more? Berkeley doesn't have a perfect police department, but they have a fairly good reputation, and the reason for that is because of the Berkeley Police Review Commission. We've been around for over 35 years, and we've helped them improve. I challenge this public safety committee to not see this as a budget issue, but as a public safety issue. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, everybody. Eric Cisneros, and I'm the convener of the Mayor's Task Force. And I'm sure you're getting kind of tired of seeing us here every month. All right. So, you've read our report. It shows that how much it's going to cost. It shows, it says that city won't have to pay a penny for it if we can find funding elsewhere. And we've met with you all, and it seemed to us over the months that we've been meeting that you agreed in principle. So I wasn't piggybacking when I thought of this earlier, but it seemed like everybody was going to say that nobody was going to say that people don't file complaints because they're afraid, or they don't feel that no good will come, that they feel that no good will come from it. So the reason I bring that up is because one of the reasons we want to civilianize it is because we feel that the CPRB asks questions differently than Internal Affairs does. And when they do that, they feel they'll get that the citizens who come in to file those complaints will be more open and be able to express themselves a little bit better, so the investigation can go on a little further. So a couple things. We want you to push it forward to the full council, as other people have said before me. One last thing, I just want you to, there's a lot of vacancies on the actual board, and I know that as council members you have the ability to fill those.
They've been vacant a long time and the mayor doesn't fill them again.
Okay, and they have been for years, so thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm David. I'll keep this short. I was here in April, and there was a long line of speakers. It seemed like some of you were kind of aghast at how little credibility OPD has with large sections of the population. It seemed like pretty much you guys had already agreed in principle to move this forward. I think that you just can't let it get buried in the weeds. It's time to just go ahead and push it forward. You know, obviously OPD, IA, Dan Lindheim are not happy with it. You know, there's a little bit of trickiness with the NSA, but essentially there's no reasons why this shouldn't move forward. It's good for the long-term benefit of the city of Oakland. It'll end up being good for OPD. It'll be good for the citizens. It's time to just move it forward, work out the details. You know, a year sounds like a good amount of time. Do it methodically. And just make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Mr. Hunter, did you send it to you?
Yes.
For the record, Sergeant Hunter, thanks for news service. First, procedurally, just to point out, I believe you're putting over all these items to the July 7th council meeting, not the June 30th. So people are showing up on the 30th expecting to have the committee on the report of that. Secondly, neither the city attorney's office nor the mayor's office has been satisfactory able to answer my questions as to the status of these various task forces. The original premise was that each of the task forces, the 41 or so that were created in the fall of 2006, met about six times and came up with a series of recommendations. The mayor's office has contended that the task forces have not met since then, but you can see on a regular basis representatives of a number of task forces, including this one here, saying that they have been doing work. You can often see signs posted on the hallways or the doors of City Hall saying which room the meeting is in, sometimes in the mayor's conference room, sometimes it's in the Billy Bridges room. Obviously, somebody on city staff is reserving those rooms, giving them access. I do know that at least three of the task forces, there has been an issue where they've sort of disinvited the mayor's staff, and they've become forces of their own, just keep meeting. So legally, what needs to be addressed is whatever these task forces are doing. The Sunshine Ordinance provides that any group that advises the mayor that exists for more than 12 calendar months must comply with state and open meetings laws. They must post their agendas, they send it to us in advance, have minutes, maintain an agenda subscriber list, stick to the agenda that's posted, make the full packet of materials available on it. The other thing I want to point out is there's considerable discussion that needs to happen around this issue. You're not going to resolve it in committee today. You're not going to be able to resolve it at the next council meeting. But there is clearly a need for some initial forums and discussion as to what should happen when the Citizens Police Review Board clearly has been hampered in a number of ways, not only by funding cuts, but by some of the actions the previous executive director took that have undercut its ability to actually exist as a standalone. And the final thing I would just point out is that, it just in fairness, I guess I've been lucky I've not encountered these police officers that are being described here. It's unfortunate those are the incidents that are going on. But I keep hearing from people that want the police officers to be more aggressive, and as you were in that same thing, through the writer's settlement. So that's why there's a need for more continued dialogue and perhaps in forums other than these committees or the council, so it can be a more meaningful interface. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Honda. Chief Israel, is there anything that you want to add?
Thank you, sir. Jeff Israel, OPD. As I stated here before, what we really need is a plan, and that's what I stated last time. We really need a comprehensive plan of what this is going to look like. It is no small matter compliance with the NSA. And as you know, although it expires in January 2010, there's already negotiations on right now to either extend it or create a new one. And I guarantee you the NSA tasks related to IED, and there are 21 of them or 22, many of those are going to be continued. There's no question about it. And so until we can be assured that those, and when I say we, I mean the whole city, not just people in IA or the department, if we fall out of compliance, we run the risk of the court having special master over IAD. And then that person is going to order you to probably put twice as many people there, just as we saw under the federal court with in regards to the state prison system and medical care. That's the kind of power the federal court has. We're doing a very good job right now in IAD. I think we need to continue doing it. As the chief has said, and I've heard from the chief, and I've said here, I think eventually it makes sense for the reasons you heard tonight. I think it is a good policy decision. Timing is everything, and the timing concerns me, particularly because I still don't see an actual plan how this is going to happen. How are we going to absolutely assure that people in CPRB are completely compliant? Because they are going to fall under the auspices of the auditors who are going to absolutely audit them. And I don't see that happening by July. I know what Lieutenant Wendt said, but even if everybody's trained up and ready to go by July 2010, the IMT or whoever's here is going to have to audit for practice compliance. And I can't imagine the city willing to take a risk and simply saying July, you're gonna start sending cops to the street. So I think a plan to ensure the transition is going to be very carefully monitored. And by who, we heard milestones and timelines, all of that has to be in there, but the who, what, where, when's got to be in there. I don't see how it could happen by July. I still don't understand how it's ever gonna save any money, as someone mentioned, I think Mr. Lindheim, unless we're going to reduce the number of FTEs of police officers and then fund the complaint investigators with that. I think everybody would agree there's definitely opportunity value. I think there's a certainly segment of the population does not feel comfortable coming to the police department. I don't agree that that hardly anybody wants to, or that it's getting worse. I would say just the reverse is true. We've taken 1,700 complaints compared to 80 at CPRB. I would say there's a tremendous number of people that feel very comfortable coming to internal affairs. And that was even true when I was back there starting in 05. We had a man come in who said previously he was not comfortable coming to IA, and in 06 he came to IA about something that happened in, I think, 03, because he was reading what was going on in the paper and did develop a level of confidence he did not have. But I agree, it is simply a policy decision for the council. Does it make more sense to have more capacity in for intake in CPRB? And that's a decision you all have to make. And as we keep hearing in principle, I think the chief will say he can agree with that, but not until he's assured that there's going to be practice compliance. And it's taken us years to do that. I was discussing with Sean Wendt the possibility of having people trained in internal affairs, and once they're trained up, then they can transition over to CPRB. I believe that is the only way we can be assured that they're going to pass the audits that will undoubtedly have to occur. And if they do not pass those audits, there's going to be consequences. And that's really the chief's concern. And there is still no plan at all, at least not that I've seen, that really lays out how that's going to happen.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Well, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping that there was going to be a plan to come forward, but there isn't.
It's what we asked for.
Well, I know. Ms. Carnahan, what kind of...
Well, I have a number of questions. I do think that IA is doing a good job now, and I know there's an enormous amount of oversight. However, there still is, I think, enough public perception of feeling like their complaint was not taken seriously. People are investigating themselves, and it's not. And I think it's not just about police or even the Oakland police in particular. I think when any entity in the world is asked to investigate itself, it always raises questions. So I think that as a policy matter, it would be good to move towards civilian investigation. Having said that, I recognize there are, you know, many steps along the way and the issues that that OPD has raised. So I want to ask some kind of practical questions of either Deputy Chief Israel and or Acting Captain Wendt.
How about both?
Oh, yeah, how about both? So. So I'm just going to kind of follow along with what's in these reports, and if at one place in this, well, the reports are kind of similar, but not quite. So, if in I think the task force report, it's suggesting that if, and let's assume that they found the money. Let's assume that they went out and got the money. So if they had 10 civilian intake investigators, say, all hired and ready to go on January 2010, and then it says that the soonest by July 2010, so 6 months later, would be the soonest that the police officer investigators could actually leave. Now, that actually even seems to me like faster than likely. Because, as you said, the training of the civilian investigators has to be really good such that they can comply with the NSA requirements. And I actually thought your idea of having them trained in IA is probably a good idea. And so tell me, from the police department's perspective, if we hired a bunch of investigators, and they're all going to be people who do have investigative experience. They're not just people off the street. They're, you know, college-educated people with investigative experience elsewhere. And then let's say that you put them through a training program in IA. How long do you think that it would take for them to be able to then execute the work according to the NSA standards?
Okay. Well, the time frame that was proposed assumed that they would kick off operations in January, assuming that they were actually hired later this year and the training began later this year. So they would essentially open the doors in January and start taking complaints. how long it takes them to actually be proficient, it really depends. The reason I said minimally to 6 months is because we obviously have a 180-day timeline to complete cases. So after 6 months, we can begin really evaluating completed cases that they've done and see, do they pass muster for NSA compliance? And if they were not, then obviously, you know, further training or corrections required. But we can't even make that assessment, really, until we get a batch of completed cases.
Okay, so you're saying that 6 months is really after they're on the job and trained. So I'm really looking at, so even before that, how long do you think the training would take?
Minimally 3 months. Minimally. And that's just to begin really doing it. But it, obviously, the longer you do it, the more proficient you become.
Okay. Another question here is, I'm wondering why the proposal is only, and this is maybe not a question for you, but you stay there. We're proposing, or the report's proposing 10 civilian investigators, but I know that in IA currently, the sworn investigators, you've got how many actually investigating?
Well, we have 10 or 9 currently intake officers, and we have 11 investigative sergeants. But obviously, we're replacing the intake function here, so we're looking at those 9 sworn officers that do intake.
Okay, so this is talking about intake, and I think we also want to explore the what is intake, which I can see from reading this that the task force is proposing a more robust activity. I mean, it included reviewing legal claims, going out to interview witnesses, receiving all walk-ins, taking statements, obtain police communications reports and other documentary evidence. So they're doing some kind of initial investigation. Is that acceptable to you?
Yeah, our intake officers presently do that and more, but yes.
Okay. So, actually, now I think I'm going to have a question of the task force. Could Rashida come up there? So this proposal is just talking about the intake function, but are you seeing that as a first step toward later actually having all the real investigators be civilians as well?
Absolutely. It's just a question of budget again, because that would require hiring even more. Right now, as you know, they have 2 investigators. They're supposed to have 8, even under the current status, under the current ordinance. So if they were going to take on the entire amount of complaints, which is close to 1,000, somewhere between 800 and 1,000, and let's kill the 1,700 number because that is not accurate. That does not represent citizen complaints. It represents all complaints. So citizen complaints are 800 to 1,000. If the CPRB were to investigate all of those, they would need many more than just the 10 intake investigators. They would need some senior investigators in addition to the 2 that they currently have. So that would require even more money. But yes, eventually the idea is to have the CPRB responsible for the totality of citizen complaints. We just don't think it's practical to do it at this time. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So all right, so I'm gonna stick with just the current proposal of the intake. So Captain Wendt, if you were hiring these folks to do intake and not the full investigation, so still that would take like 3 months to train them. So in other words, they're not really the ones who are investigating the case. They're kind of doing the initial gathering of information.
They would do the initial gathering of information, but OPD would also do it, because it's going to be redundant for some period of time.
For some period of time, but not forever.
Right. And so really, it just greatly increases the pool of cases that the CPRB has to work with. Send more to mediation, send more to a board, however their current investigative processes work.
Okay, so I guess my thoughts are this. I think ideally the place we want to end up, for some of us, is to have the entire IA function being performed by civilians. I'm just saying that's what I'm talking, so that the actual investigations would be done by civilians as well. And this, so this is really only one step toward that. And I don't know where anybody is going to find funding to actually do this, because so besides the 1.7, which pays for the personnel that the task force is asking for, the hiring, recruiting, and background check, we all know that costs a lot of money. So this seems like an uphill battle to get this funding. But also, I want to be realistic about the amount of time that this duplicative process is going to be there. So to the task force members, it seems to me it might be more than a year.
Absolutely, I think as long as the NSA, there'll be some duplication as long as we have an NSA, because OPD cannot relinquish those responsibilities. We've come this far down the road to get in compliance. We cannot afford to be backsliding. So as long as there's an NSA component to this, there will definitely be duplication.
Well, maybe I'm going to argue with you a little bit. Clearly, OPD has the responsibility to make sure that the NSA requirements are met, but there could be, you know, a sworn OPD commander over the whole thing, but, you know, making sure that the civilian investigators were complying with the NSA. I mean, there's no reason that civilians could not be held to the same standards and comply to the NSA.
Absolutely. And actually, that which Molly just suggested is really closer to what Chief Jordan suggested, and that we would actually hire complaint investigators and assign them to IA and replace intake officers. So we would civilianize those positions, but IA would still run the operation.
But and I see Rashida shaking her head.
I've
talked long enough, all of my colleagues.
Thank you, Ms.
Can I just respond really quick?
We got some other agendas.
Okay, I'll just take 1 minute.
No, listen to me.
Okay.
If we get to that point, we will come back to you, but we want to ask some questions.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. I'm running again.
Captain, if I could for a second. First of all, I think it's important for us to recognize that there will always have to be an IA for certain kinds of complaints, not the citizen complaints, but there will always have to be an IA, and I think we have to, I don't think the public recognizes that, so I just wanted to get that out there. Second of all, has Judge Henderson said or been spoken to at all about the idea of having an independent civilianization of the investigatory function?
To my knowledge, the judge has not been consulted. The plaintiff's attorneys have been consulted by Rashida, and I guess we're at least open to the changes required just to make this portion of it effective. But whether the judge would approve it or not, I don't know.
All right, so nobody's talked to you about it yet. You said that you have 9 intake officers and 10 investigatory sergeants, was it?
It's 11 sergeants actually doing IA investigations, yes.
Okay, and have you had any turnover?
Constant
turnover. So, as you have turnover, couldn't you hire a civilian and train them instead of hiring an officer and train them?
No, that's exactly what Chief Jordan wanted to do. I mean, we would hire civilians to replace not necessarily the 11 sergeants, but the intake officers.
Right. But I think what we're moving, well, my opinion is that we need an independent civilian review board. However, the concept of getting trained by the existing IA is not a bad one. I don't see that as necessarily bad. But I don't consider that once they are trained, they have to stay in your camp. They can become independent. So that's sort of what I was thinking as a transition, as part of the transition plan. That as you have turnover. And that's not new, and that's a way to have savings because you will be hiring new people at a lower rate because they will be less expensive than the sworn officers. So there is some potential savings there. My other question was about the mediation. When the CPRB does intake and assigns it to mediation, then IA never hears about it?
IA gets every complaint
they
intake at the CPRB currently.
I see. Okay, so, all right. Well, I definitely support the idea of civilianizing to an independent CPRB. I think the idea of having them trained as you have turnover and as money comes in, if we approve this as in concept and they can go out and find additional funds, then we can actually start shaping the plan. I agree that we do need to have more shaping of the plan. It's rough. We have the outcome, but we don't have the transition really laid out clearly, and I would like to see that laid out better by staff. So I do support it in concept. I'm suggesting that you start the transition by dealing with it through turnover as well as our current process of having CPRB still do some intake. But I think that the way to transition and save some money is to do it as you have turnover.
Thank you, Ms. Nabil.
I think it looks like we're moving here to consensus. I think we can do a resolution that agrees that we support this in concept, that specifically, because I care about both of them, I'd actually like to see the 9 intake within IAD be civilian just to save money. Within your budget, and that might even free up some money for the CPRB. I would say I'm a little disappointed. I actually had hoped that there would be a plan, not just deadlines, but actually a plan that sort of transitions a little bit at a time. I mean, so from what Pat asked and what Nancy asked, I could see us civilianizing your 9, adding some additional people and co-training them with your 9 to the CPRB in little groups, probably a third at a time. As they get grants, as we get money, as we make savings. It sounds like more this is a 2 or 3 year process. And at the same time, as we do that and we get your first batch, that we actually talk to the judge. And I'm surprised that no one's talked directly to the judge about him accepting, because I think even for you to civilianize maybe your intake, you're going to have to talk to Judge Henderson. So it should be an overall discussion. And it seems to me if the judge's concern is possible corruption or abuse from the police department, that having a strengthened outside civilian check would be in line with that. Now, I don't know him. I understand he's very precise with what he wants. And so, but I think I like a plan that includes discussion with him to come back. So I would be willing to move a motion that we accept this in principle, that we ask that the city administrator work with a transition plan, maybe without direct dates, but when we get this amount of money, we can do this, we get this, we can do this, just what the steps are. And I absolutely agree with Nancy. I've always thought there will be an IA no matter what we do, because there are some things, first of all, just symbolically, that the police department, because we get to work in so many communities, and we have a lot of respect for a lot of the IA officers and kinds of cases they come up with that civilians would never have known about. And there will be certain kinds of crimes that only police officers will be able to investigate and only have privy to that. So we'll always need both the Civilian Review Board and an internal IA to serve the city. Can I bring the cost down? That's what I care about this year. How we can work and make sure that eventually it's more flowing so that there's still tension, and there's always tension, and it's not just these two departments, but in all of our city departments, we try to get them to work together. There's a lot of a lack of trust in, we could do it better, and they can't do this, or whatever. But I think we all would like to see the Civilian Review Board to be, at least for many people, the entree and help them triage. And I mean, when you look at the Civilian Review Board, I think always about 50%, 40% of the complaints are that people thought that the police didn't do enough. A lot of just educating civilians about what police can do and can't do is probably something the Civilian Review Board could do with more credibility than the police can. So I think we'll all win. So I'm willing to move a motion that accepts this in principle and that asks specifically that the city administrator develop a transitional plan for that, for the council, and that then we do have the proviso, then everybody has to go find the money because it's not coming out of this general fund budget. I can promise you that.
I'll second that.
Please, ma'am. I'm not going to support this. Because again, I think as we did on the ID cards, I mean, this is another issue that we all want to get to where we want to get to. And that when we were at the committee the last time, we asked for them to come back with a plan that take us from point A to point Z. This is not a plan to get us to where we want to get it. And with all due respect to Rashida and all the others who have been strong advocates for the civilianization, I have the utmost respect for all of you. And I want to be where you want to be. But this is not the way to do that. I mean, this is a game that's pushing our backs up to the wall to do something that we all want to see done, but we don't know how to get there. There is no money. And I'm telling you, you do this in concept, and I guarantee you, if they don't go out and be successful at securing grants, they're going to come back and say, but the committee and the council approved this. And there is just going to be this expectation for us to find the money to do it. I think it's crazy. It's insane. Just like you guys do what you want to do. I think it's irresponsible on that part. I wanted a plan. That's why I said I supported it in concept, but I wanted a plan that tell us how to travel the path to get to where we want to get to. And we should hold this in committee until someone, Mariana, someone in the city attorney's office, have that discussion with Judge Henderson before we move forward and provide some sense of directions. I'm telling you, you guys just do things just the wrong way. I'm not running for re-election, and I'm telling you, you guys just frustrated.
I just want to be clear what the motion is. I want to be very clear what the motion is. The motion is that we support the concept, that we ask the city administrator to bring us a plan. We asked for that. He didn't bring it to us, so if I have to bring it to hire...
No, We asked the parties that were in the room to get together to work on putting together a plan. This is not a plan that they brought before. We cannot just put the onus on the city administrator. We asked all the parties to get together and come back with a plan.
And let me, if I could just finish. And clearly, it didn't happen, and that's why I'm asking the city administrator to actually take a little bit more responsibility, because I think he can, because we asked them to get together and see if they... Obviously, it didn't work, so it needs a stronger mediation, and it needs somebody, I think, to take responsibility. And then thirdly, I want to make it very clear that yes, and that we're not approving this. This is no funding goes with this. That then, together, everyone will have to work and find new funding for this. And I'm being very explicit. There is no money in the general fund right now for this. It's, we're barely be lucky if I can close the budget by tomorrow.
But let them come back with a plan, and let us.
That's what it calls for.
No, let the plan come back to this committee without moving this forward to the city council. A plan that we, as a committee, will look at and review, and get some consensus around it before we forward it up to our colleagues to have a final vote on.
I think the problem with that, Mr. Reed, I'm sorry if I call it myself, is that there are some funding opportunities in the near future through federal stimulus that will not be available in the long term, and they just want the opportunity to do things. Obviously, it's not clear enough, the plan is not clear enough, we don't have a plan that's clear, like if they have that sense vote from the council, that they can perhaps apply for these other funds and actually make it real. It's been 12 years that you've been talking about state residents. And we can keep putting it off and saying we're not going to do it, or we believe in it in concept. But 12 years is a long time to not fund something. When we had funds, even when we had funds, we didn't fund it. So
we didn't have funds because there was not the political will to do it. There is the political will to do it, and we just don't have no money. We just don't have a plan to tell.
Specifically bring this up with Judge Henderson. I think that that is going to be key.
Okay. Rashida, I just want you to know, I want to get to where you guys want to get to. But in order for me to do that, there's got to be a plan. And the plan is what I was hoping to see to tell us how to travel this critical path to get to where we all wanted to be at. And so I'm a vote no on this, but I just want you to understand, when there's a plan in place, then I will be supporting the plan. But until that, I'm just going to have to not vote for it, because I think we're just going about it the wrong way.
Sir, yes, Chief. If I could just clarify, it's much less Judge Henderson giving approval or not giving approval. It's really not how it works. It's us coming up with a policy, city policy, that would have CPRB take on new responsibilities, the IMT approving that policy with input from the interveners at OPOA, as well as plaintiff's attorneys, and then practice compliance. I mean, they have to approve the new policies, and then they'd have to audit actual compliance. I can't imagine, I hope I'm not wrong, I can't imagine Judge Henderson saying, no, you're not going to do that. I think what he's likely to say is, and what you're all saying, make sure there's a plan, make sure my monitors approved it, and then we'll audit the plan. So I don't know how much sense it makes for us to go there.
I think we're asking for permission. I think we just want him to know that we're moving in that direction.
Well, the monitors are well aware, and they are his eyes and ears, so I'm quite sure he's being kept abreast of what's going on.
There's a motion on the floor. It's been moved by Ms. Fun, second by Ms. Cunningham. Second by Ms. Nadell. Let the record reflects 3 yes and 1 abstention.
Duly noted, this item will appear on the non-consent calendar July 7th, City Council agenda. Item 8, adopt a resolution authorizing the city administrator to accept and appropriate a grant for $400,000 from the state of California.